So in a lot of ways, the internet cuts out the middleman, right? Musicians can now make music on their own, sell it straight to fans without record labels. Authors can write books and sell them online independently without publishers. And people can express themselves through blogs, cutting out the middleman in the form of that pesky editor, Trish McKinney. Now in the world of video game design, new software is aiming to open up the process to indie game developers who've traditionally been on the outside of this little bubble. But don't count the middleman out entirely, quite yet. There's some money to be made. Here to explain is Jason Killingsworth, Paste Magazine's deputy editor and games editor. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing fine. Thanks for joining us. So the first product we want to talk about is Microsoft's new software. It's called XNA, and this is not an acronym, right? It's just XNA.
Right. It's just XNA.
It's just they don't need an explanation.
Is that like DNA? Is that the deal?
You know, I guess. I don't know any. I can't think right off of many words besides xylophone that start with X.
It's just throw an X in everything, make it cool.
It makes it high tech.
Yeah. Xenophobe,
Jason,
I don't know.
How does this software work? Let's walk through the process of how this works.
Right. Well, they've made the XNA, the initial release of XNA 1.0. It was made available in December of 2006. So it's been around for a little while, but they just released an update. So 2.0 is out now. And you can download the program for free, and it runs on your PC, and it basically provides you with a tool set for designing video games. And, you know, you still have to have a basic understanding of, you know, writing code and programming, but it just makes little things here and there easier and more straightforward to save you time and just be more efficient in the way that these developers are working.
And these, I mean, kind of the exciting part about this is that as a game developer, you now have the opportunity to get your product. Maybe you've been making them before, but now you can get them to the point where people can play them on their actual Xboxes, right? Not just on a PC.
Right. That's one of the most exciting things for the game developers themselves, because you have to realize that these developers, you know, when they were, I don't know, in fourth and fifth grade, they weren't, you know, sitting there on their PCs. They were playing Super Mario Brothers and Tetris and, you know, The Legend of Zelda, some of these, you know, really classic 8-bit Nintendo games that have, you know, become these huge worldwide franchises. So the idea of creating something and actually getting to, you know, hold a game controller in your hand when you play it instead of just tapping on the keyboard is hugely enticing and exciting for these developers.
I mean, it's been written, we saw in some of the research, that this is like, if you're in our world, if you're a journalist and you have your first story on NPR or you see your byline in the New York Times, as an indie game developer, if you have your first game on Xbox, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you were talking about distribution in the intro, and that's been a huge hurdle for a lot of these, you know, small developers, you know, single developers or small teams of two or three developers, and you know, there haven't been that many different channels to get your games out into the world. I mean, people have been, you know, in the indie games community has been just thriving, and it's been growing all the time. But now you're finally starting to see these ways to reach millions instead of just a few people who happen to stumble across this, you know, site on the internet where they're being made available.
So millions of people could potentially be downloading these. Clearly somebody is making a little money off this situation, right?
Yeah, you know, right now Microsoft's Xbox Live service has 10 million users around the world. So, you know, in the fall when they finally, right now with the XNA program, you can develop the games, play them on your own Xbox, but you can't make them available to the whole Xbox Live community just yet. So that's coming, you know, later this year. But once you can, you know, anybody who's using the Xbox Live service, which has a subscription fee, can get these games, and then the games will, you know, will have a small price tag as well. But then, you know, it's available to the whole community, and of course, you know, Xbox is, and you know, Microsoft is going to, they're going to take a little bit of a cut there.
So describe to us, Jason, what are some of the nuts and bolts of this new software? What are some of the tools that indie game developers are going to get from this that they didn't have access to before?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things is the physics engine aspect of game development. If you have a game where, you know, a character is jumping in the air or, you know, throwing Chinese stars as a ninja or something like that. You have to have physics in that game world that are going, that it's going to reflect, give you some sense of real life. So you sort of take that for granted when you're playing a game like Tetris. You're like, oh, well, the gravity makes the blocks fall. It's like, well, you know, you have, the game designer has to create that gravity inside the game. So with the XNA system, there, even though there isn't a built-in physics engine, there's been a physics engine developed by a guy named Jeff Weber of Farseer Games that you can download for free and pull into the tool set to use in the game. So that's one thing that normally a developer would have to either write their own physics engine or go to, you know, a really, you know, a very well-established company that designed these huge engines. But for the indie developer, that's a huge advantage. And then also just things like controller inputs, you know, to be able to map the controller to the game so that when you hit the A button, you're... you know, your bazooka goes off, or you hit the B button and you do some huge acrobatic leap in the air. You know, having that already worked into the program where you don't have to write the code to get all
It's very important to have the bazookas go off on time. That
yeah,
really
you know, you don't want to, like, hit the button to shoot an alien and then, you know, have that be, like, the self-destruct button. Something else, sudden your head blows up.
So what I thought was interesting about this particularly was that as part of this new push by Microsoft, they're really trying to cultivate a new generation of stars in this industry, right? Specifically, there's this guy, James Silva, who's this up-and-coming indie game developer. They're trying to create more of James Silvas. Describe who this young man is.
Yeah, James Silva is a developer from Utica, New York, and he designed this game called Dishwasher Dead Samurai.
Which sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know. You want to buy it already?
I do.
And he won... Microsoft came up with this contest called Dream Build Play, and it was a way to start getting people interested in the XNA service. And he actually was one of two sort of winners who shared the grand prize from the first Dream Build Play contest. And at this past February's Game Developers Conference, he really was sort of brought out on stage at the Microsoft keynote and, you know, put out there sort of this rock star, basically, of indie game design. And it was funny because, you know, everyone on the stage was wearing, you know, all the Microsoft execs had on their suits and ties and were looking super professional. And then out strolls James wearing, like, a hoodie sweatshirt and, you know, in jeans.
All indie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but this is, like, the new MySpace artist of indie game development.
But do you think he wants to be an indie gamer, or he'd rather just get gobbled up for a couple $100,000 by one of the established gaming companies, if he's so good?
Yeah, you know, I talked to him about that, actually, and he said he really enjoys, you know, kind of the small shop feel of it, and, you know these huge developers, Activision, and who make great games, Call of Duty 4, Guitar Hero, they have enormous teams that are working on these games. And so I think it depends on what you want. I mean, some people want, you know, to use the musician analogy, and some artists want to be in a huge band with, you know, where there are 20 instruments, you know, something like the Polyphonic Spree. And then some people just want to be a singer-songwriter, and they want to have, you know, just control over every aspect of the sound.
It sounds, I mean, this is clearly similar to what's happened in music, right, with editing software and Pro Tools. Do you see a larger trend here in gaming and media in general?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is it's just starting to happen in the gaming world, but, I mean, as you mentioned, this is something that, you know, the internet has sort of blown wide open, that the means of distribution have been handed to you and me and, you know, and the guy next door. You know, we can get online, set up a blog in 2 seconds and, you know, be, you know, writing for a world, potential worldwide audience. And, you know, it's happened in every media with, you know, with iTunes and other websites like that. You can, you know, record a CD in your basement and all of a sudden, you know, be able to put it out into the world without even getting a CD pressed.
Well, until they come up with software that's basically the dummy's guide to creating a video game, I still probably am not capable enough.
Well, it's funny to say that because there, you know, XNA, you have to have the programming background, but there are other game people who are designing these game development tools who want to lower the bar even further.
Sims Carnival.
Yep, yeah,
Electric
exactly.
Arts is doing the Sims Carnival thing. I'm going to look into that because, you know, I might have an inner designer inside me that wants to develop video games. Hey, Jason.
Let him out.
Yeah, let her out. Jason Killingsworth, Pace Magazine's deputy editor and games editor. Jason, we appreciate you being with us today. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Well, ooh, I have some sad news. We meant to hang up on Jason. We wound up setting off a bazooka instead.
Oh,
R bad.
Shoot.
Yeah. Should have pressed B. Next up on the show, the patented segment called the Assisted Listen, where sometimes we talk you through an artist. What we're going to do this time is talk you through an entire genre of music. It's called go-go music. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.